Vaydaber Adonai El Moshe Lemor. Daber El Bnei Yisrael Lemor. Isha Ki Tazria Violida Zachar. Vitamea Shivas Yamim. Ki Me Nidasid Devota Titma. Uvayom Hashemini. Yimol Bisar Orlato. And God said to Moshe, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, a woman who conceives and gives birth to a male child, she becomes ritually impure to Me'ah for 7 days, similar to the 7 day period of the menstruant woman. And on the 8th day, you shall circumcise the flesh of the foreskin. Not necessarily the greatest of translations, but we'll leave it at that. .. Vaydaber Adonai El Moshe Lemor. Zot tihye Torat HaMitzorah. Biyom tahorato vehuva el hakohen. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, this shall be the laws of the Mitzorah, not translating that yet, on the day that he is to become ritually pure, and he is to be brought to the Kohen.
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Come right over. Ah, you're here. Good. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable?
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Tazria Mitzora. Recording and first availability. Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the first day of Iyar 5777, corresponding this year to April 27th. Okay, we have a lot of things to take care of. Let's first do Psalm 121, Tehillim, Kuf, Kaf, Aleph. Shir lama alot, esa einai el heharim, me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, osei shamayim va'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha, al yad yaminecha. Yomam HaShemesh lo yakecha v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmarcha mikol ra yishmart nafshecha. Adonai yishmart seitecha uvoecha me'ata v'yad olam. Achinu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara v'ashivya ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha ha'makom yorachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara l'yirvacha ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. Last night, that would be Wednesday night, leading into Thursday, we counted 16 days in the Omer, which are 2 weeks and 2 days. And depending on whether you're listening on Thursday at all, in which case you could count if you haven't yet, or if it's Friday, you have to take Friday's count, etc. Okay, the opening music was the introduction to a track from an album called Kumsitz in the Rain 3 Junior. These are, and there are many other a cappella, voice only, no instruments albums that are considered to be listenable, during the Omer period and during this 3 weeks period between Shivasar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Certainly during the Omer, there is a very strong foundation to say that it's the playing of musical instruments that makes for a very joyous atmosphere, which is not compatible with the Omer period, and a cappella, voice only, is acceptable. This particular song, which I will play momentarily, is very, very appropriate, and that's one of the things that I want to discuss about the period of the Omer. Now, I said this last week, or I should have said it last week, which was the first show after Pesach, but I want to put a certain perspective on the Omer and tie it in with Yom HaShoah and Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzma'ut and Yom Yerushalayim. Not an easy task. Let's go back to the beginning. The Torah describes the bringing of the barley offering in the Beit HaMikdash on the second day of Pesach. The Torah immediately follows that with a command to us to count from the day of the bringing of the barley offering 7 full weeks until but not including 50 days, on which, the 50th day, which is Shavuot, we bring an offering from the wheat, from the new wheat, which is called the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves, also referred to as Mincha Chadasha Lashem, a new flour offering to God. I think we would have to say that during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan and then the Beit HaMikdash, the period between the holiday of Pesach and the holiday of Shavuot was a lower key festive period from the Omer HaTenufa until the Mincha Chadasha Lashem. Then the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and we temporarily do not have a barley offering to bring and a wheat offering of the two loaves to bring on Shavuot. And the counting is continued and perpetuated for a couple of different reasons. But the mood of the period from Pesach to Shavuot has become more melancholy than festive. It also made itself ripe to absorb certain tragedies which were associated with this period of the year, almost as if to say, treating this period as a festive period could almost be seen as a mockery to the Beit HaMikdash, which does not stand at the moment. And the two major causes for a mournful nature during the Omer are the deaths of 24,000 students and followers of Rabbi Akiva, various reasons being attached to their deaths, and differently, the Crusades, which were not just between Pesach and Shavuot, but as I said, the period of the year became ripe to absorb a mournful kind of mood. Notwithstanding that, the period of 49 days was never completely mournful. There is a notion, which is a little confusing and is treated differently by different communities, that it was only during a period of 33 days that the students of Rabbi Akiva died in a plague. And therefore, 33 days during the Omer have a mournful nature. Sfaradim, Eidot Mizrach, by and large, begin the mournful period of the Omer from the beginning of the counting, Which is odd, by the way, because you don't have mournful activities and behaviors on Pesach, so immediately thereafter. And what gets confusing is the fact that one of the major customs during the Omer period is not to have weddings and not to have hair cutting or shaving. Now, it turns out that hair cutting and shaving and weddings are also forbidden on Chol HaMoed, the festive intermediate days between the first day of Pesach and the seventh day of Pesach, as well as during the Omer. So that's sort of blurred into, well, whether we're happy or sad, we don't have haircuts and we don't shave and we don't have weddings. Notwithstanding that, shiduchim, matches, are allowed to be made during the Omer period with restrictions on how they are celebrated, engagements, just not formal weddings. And, as I started to say, Edot Mizrach, the Sfaradim, go from Pesach time until Lag BaOmer, including Lag BaOmer, and after Lag BaOmer, from the 34th till the 49th of the Omer, it's no longer a mournful period. Ashkenazim, some of whom maintain that same custom, and others left Nisan out of the equation, and starting with Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the second day, which is today, the first of the month of Iyar, go from now till right before Shavuot, another period of 33 days. Lag BaOmer is the traditional hiatus of the mournful nature, but even then, weddings are not supposed to take place on the eve of Lag BaOmer, just on the daytime. And that allows Lag BaOmer, half of which retains the mournful nature, to be counted among the 33 days. All is fine and well, sort of. And mournful days like Yom HaShoah v'Hagvura and Yom HaZikaron l'Chalalei Tzahal v'Harugei Terror, the Holocaust Memorial Day, which is the 27th of Nisan this year, postponed to the 28th to avoid Chilul Shabbat here in Israel, on ceremonies and programs that would take place on Saturday night. And coming up this coming Sunday night is Leil Yom HaZikaron. It too was postponed today, as is Yom HaAsma'ut, again to avoid having Yom HaZikaron programs on Saturday night, which would probably be accompanied by people preparing for them before Shabbat ends, thereby having a problem with Chilul Shabbat. And the decision was, bump it ahead and bump it back when Yom HaAsma'ut falls on Friday or Shabbat, to keep the national observances without violating Shabbat, and the religious observances went together with the national, so that we should not split the character and the nature of Israel Independence Day. So if Yom HaShoah is a Holocaust Memorial Day, and if Yom HaZikaron marks the deaths of soldiers in all of the campaigns, the wars and the unofficial wars in between, and more recently added to that is a memorial to those killed in terror attacks, then no problem having that during the Omer period, which had picked up a mournful nature way back with the deaths of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva and the Crusades. So the odd man out now is going to be Yom HaAtzma'ut and Yom Yerushalayim, the 5th of Iyar, the 28th of Iyar. The 28th of Iyar for Yom Yerushalayim always stays, no matter what day of the week Yom Yerushalayim falls. But Yom HaAtzma'ut was moved around. I don't want to get into all the details, but essentially to avoid desecration of the Shabbat. So this coming Tuesday, Monday night, Tuesday, is Yom HaAtzmaut. How do we look at that in light of the mournful nature of the Omer period? To try to handle this, I need to call your attention to two things. Number one is that if a Brit Milah, circumcision, falls during the Omer period, the mournful part of the Omer period, when we don't take haircuts and shave, the father of the baby, the mohel, who's doing the circumcision, and the sandek, the godfather, upon whose lap the baby is placed during the circumcision, all have halachic permission to take haircuts and shave the night before, the evening, the afternoon before the brit, because this is a personal holiday for them. Now that side fact, we'll call it, indicates that the days of the Omer, the 33 days, whichever they be, of the Omer, are mournful, but they are not intrinsically mournful. If they were, then there would not be any exception to the Ba'alei Brit. The fact that the Mohel, the Sandek, and the father of the baby can take haircuts to prepare for their personal Simcha, and that's a little bit of a stretch for the Mohel, who's being hired to do the circumcision, but he's included, then it sort of is an indicator that there is no intrinsic mournfulness during the Omer. It just came about as filling the vacuum that was created when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed and the joys associated with the Beit HaMikdash were temporarily suspended. And that, to me, has a very strong bearing on Yom HaAtzmaut. Because if you see the establishment of the State of Israel as a step, a significant step, a major step in the direction of the Geula, the redemption, the complete redemption, then that already is pointing in the direction of the time when the entire Omer period will be restored to its joyful nature. So in the meantime, the effect of Yom HaAtzmaut, this is my way of looking at it and my way of putting it, the effect of Yom HaAtzmaut is not yet strong enough to make the entire mournful nature of the Omer dissipate, but it is strong and powerful enough to say whatever day, be it the 5th of Iyar, the 4th, the 3rd, or the 6th, which are the four different dates that Yom HaAtzmaut can fall, it's strong enough to make that day a happy day, a joyous day, a festive day, without any qualms. And if you're worried about the 33-day period, which I don't think you have to be, but let's say you insist on worrying about it, then you just tack on another day or two after Lag BaOmer or before Rosh Chodesh, and there is plenty within the 49 days in order to have 33 mournful days without having to impinge on Yom HaAtzmaut. So Yom HaAtzmaut, different from a personal celebration of a brit, of a circumcision, is more la'inyan. It's to the point. This period will become joyous and festive, and here is your foretaste of it. Celebration of Yom HaAtzmaut with Hallel, with the Psukei Dezimra of Shabbat, with other prayers, with various and sundry methods of celebration here in Israel. The big thing is the mangal, the barbecue. What I find fascinating is celebrating Israel independence with a barbecue whose name, mangal, is not Hebrew, but it's Turkish. But forget that, or remember it and smile. If, I say if because sadly there are people who I believe are blind or are forcing themselves to be blind to the great debt of gratitude which we owe God for the State of Israel. The establishment of the State of Israel 69 years ago opened the door to the land of Israel to any Jew anywhere in the world who wants to come here. No quota, no requirements. You want to come, you are eligible for citizenship by virtue of your Jewishness. And I don't want to get into now what other people besides halachic Jews are also eligible. Not the issue at the moment. But the fact that until 1948, a Jew was unwelcome in many, many places in the world. A Jew could not enter every place in the world because they already had the year's quota of Jews, now has no quota. And if nothing else, I believe there is enough to say, Zehayom, this day, Asa Hashem, God made it. Nagila v'nismachavo, let us rejoice and be happy on such a day. But it's not just the open door. It is the Jewish attitudes, and Shabbat being the day of rest, and the observance of Jewish holidays, and the whole atmosphere of Jewish holidays, does not mean things are perfect. But things never have been perfect, and yet we celebrate Purim, and we celebrate Hanukkah, and there were plenty of problems there too, which again, we don't have to go into now. What we have to say is, look at the positive aspects of the State of Israel. Look at the army. I was telling some people the other day that one of the things that blew me away in the army was in the dining room, a large sign saying, be careful to maintain proper separation between meat and dairy dishes and cutlery. And I like that because I keep kosher, because Jews have to keep kosher, and that's an element of keeping kosher. But it did not say what chapter and verse in the Code of Jewish Law was that statement made from. It said, Bipakuda, by military order. If a person can be court-martialed for leaving his gun in the bathroom and coming out and an officer finds it there, then he could also be court-martialed for wantonly violating kashrut laws. My brother had an episode in the army where he criticized an officer. I'll leave the word criticized, you could say whatever you want, for using a meat knife to cut cheese in the kitchen. And this officer brought my brother up on charges of speaking disrespectfully to an officer. At the hearing, the tribunal said to the officer, we highly recommend that you drop this immediately and forget about it, because if you don't, he has a much stronger claim against you for violating the milk and meat orders, military orders. I was very impressed by the fact, and whether it's actually done all the time or not, it's not the issue. It's supposed to be done, and therefore it can be done. If a soldier is required to say Kaddish for a parent, and there is no minion on his base or in his outpost, he must be provided transportation by the army, by jeep, or even by helicopter if necessary, to bring him to a place where he'll be able to say Kaddish three times a day. It goes on and on and on. It is not perfect, but it is Jewish, and it's meant to be Jewish. There isn't a vegetable or a fruit that reaches a base that has not already been properly micered early in the morning at the depot. The amount of time a soldier needs to be given for davening, certain number of minutes for Shacharit. If it's a Monday and Thursday with Torah reading, another 10 minutes. If it's Rosh Chodesh with Musaf, more time. It goes on and on and on. The army is meant to be religious friendly. Again, it doesn't always work out, but it can, and it should. And it's not just the army with a Jewish flavor. Government positions, there are certain things they're not allowed to do on Shabbat when they're visiting abroad, even if you have people who don't keep Shabbat. They have to keep Shabbat in public when they are representing the state of Israel. I remember back when El Al announced that it was no longer flying on Shabbat, and a Chaver Knesset from one of the religious parties was interviewed, and the questioner said, well, you stopped El Al from flying. What about the soccer games that take place on Shabbat? And the guy smiled and said, benevolently, we'll have to leave some things for the Mashiach to handle. The nature of the state of Israel is its Jewishness. That's why it is such an irksome issue of other people, nations, recognizing the intrinsic Jewishness of the Jewish state. Goes on and on and on. There are dozens and dozens of wonderful good reasons for us to have the yearly reminder of Yom HaAtzmaut and be able to say Zeh Hayom Asah Hashem Nagila V'Nismecha Vo. And that is the bright spot in the Omer, which has never been black. At best, you could call it dark gray, and it's getting lighter. And then we go several weeks ahead to Yom Yerushalayim, the day during the Six-Day War where Jerusalem was reunited. And that, too, it's after Lag BaOmer, and therefore it doesn't bother some people's Omer counting. I mean, the period of the Omer, but that's not the point. The point is that that, too, is a foretaste of the Geula. And whether you call Israel Reshit Tzimichat Geulatenu, the beginning of the flowering of our redemption, or you want to describe it in another way, it is certainly a major step and consists of steps towards the coming of the Mashiach and the Geula Shlema. Which brings me back for a moment to the here and now, and not the bigger picture, but the facts on the ground, the anti-Semitism, the Holocaust denial, and various and sundry other attitudes towards Jews in different places in the world, and in the Arab world, and in the state of Israel from the pressure outside. in the Tachanun prayer that is expanded on Monday and Thursday, we have the line, the paragraph, the passage, which is the song. Habet mishamayim ure. We ask God to look down from heaven and see. Ki hayinu la'ag v'keles bagoyim. To see how we have become objects of scorn and derision among the nations. This didn't start now, and it didn't start last week, and it didn't start in World War II. It goes back all the way that we are perceived unfavorably in the eyes of many, many people and many nations of the world. We are regarded as sheep led to the slaughter, to be killed, destroyed, beaten, and humiliated. And this is certainly not at our time on the level that it was during the Holocaust. But the Holocaust is not that long ago. And we're not comparing numbers here. We're talking about attitude. Yet, despite all this, uvechol zot, we have not forgotten your name. Please do not forget us. Hashem, God of Israel, turn away from your fierce anger and relent from the evil against your people. This, unfortunately, is a song or a passage which we have to keep saying until the exile will be no longer, until the attitude of all people and all nations will be positive vis-a-vis the Jewish people, including a recognition that we have the challenge of the spiritual heights that we have been challenged to reach towards.
Habet mishamayim ureye ki hayinu lavokeles pagoyim nechshavnu kitzoin latzevach yuvol laharoi uleyavet ulemako ulecherepo
habet mishamayim uriye ki hayinu lagvokeles bagoyim nechshavnu kitzoin latevach yuvol la rovoi guli abeid ule mako ule chepa
ule chal ule chal zais ule chal zais ule chal ule chal zais shim chal aisha chachro ule chal ule chal zais shim chal
Hallelujah.
משמיים וריאי, כי הוינו לגבוקלס בגויים. נחשבנו כצבאים לטבח יובל, להרוג וליאבד, ולמכור ולחרפו, ובכל ובכל זייס, ובכל זייס, ובכל ובכל זייס, שמכל לאיש שכחנו, ובכל ובכל זייס, שמכל לאיש שכחנו,
going to have time to go into the content of Tazria and Metzora, but there's an interesting hidden message in the Haftorah. It doesn't always happen, but many times the Haftorah right before Yom HaAtzma'ut is the Haftorah of Metzora, which simply put is a story of four outcasts of society, people who were punished for greed with the skin afflictions called Sora'at. They're usually translated as leprosy, which is not really accurate, but we're talking about four lepers in all of the connotations of the world, who in essence bring about the fulfillment of a prophecy of a prophet and a great joy to the Jewish people. There was a great famine, and people were doing the ultimate acts because of the famine. I don't even want to say what. And they complained to the prophet, Elisha, and he said, tomorrow there will be a alleviation of the famine and food will be in such abundance that its value will drop drastically. And so it happened. As a result of these four outcasts of society, we cannot determine who God will choose to bring about a redemption. We have to take it as it comes. And that's a strong message for those people who say, how can the establishment of the state of Israel be the beginning of the redemption or a step in the major step in the direction of the redemption if most of the founding fathers of the state were not religious? First of all, they were more religious than you think. Second of all, that's totally not the point, and the Haftorah of Metzora proves it. Generations after the great victories and miracles of the Hanukkah story, there were many, many problems with the Hasmoneans, with idolatry, with killing for political reasons, to save a person's throne, very difficult times under the thumb of Rome until the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed for the second time, and the exile much, much longer than the first 70-year one. And yet we celebrate Hanukkah. We have a lot to be thankful to God for. We should not miss that opportunity. It is a very important issue of Hakarat HaTov to the Supreme God. On that note, I will wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a Chodesh Tov, a Moadim L'Simcha for Yom HaAtzma'ut, for which the response is L'Geula Shleima, and my greeting L'Hishtamea.
Anesunim batzor. live.